Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor, consultants, and representative for many generations to come. For information and guidance regarding Wine Country Real Estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
Events happening at Sonoma State Historic Park for the month of February 2026. The Campfire Program returns on Valentine's Day. That's a Saturday, the 14th, 5:30 to 6:30. Celebrate Valentine's Day by enjoying a warm campfire, songs, and a marshmallow roast, and a very special Valentine's Day surprise. Thursday, February 19th, a lecture, Slavery and Exploitative Labor in Sonoma County, 7 p.m. That'll be happening in the Mission Chapel, San Francisco, Solano. A lecture by Demetra Smith. And then the Nature Hike, Saturday, February 21st from noon to 1:30. Spring is right around the corner. Get ready with the hike that explores the Lower Montini Preserve Trail. No reservations are needed. For more information on the park's activities, or if you would like to become a docent, contact 707-938-9547 or sonomaparks.org.
The following show is brought to you in part by
Highway 12 Winery. Sonoma wines ranging from Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays to local reds such as the Mission Hardware Old Sonoma Red, with a tasting room located at 27 East Napa Street, Suite S. Hours, 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. daily. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma. The Red Grape features New Haven-style pizza with thin, crispy crust high-fired in a stone-lined pizza ovens. For more information, call them at 707-996-4103. Visit their website at theredgrape.com or find them on Facebook at The Red Grape.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway. For more information, you can call 707-343-1898 or you can visit their website at unicomtax.com.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau, the only spot to get a regional parks pass in the valley, reminding you to support local restaurants by ordering direct and picking up your food in person. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater, located on the Sonoma Plaza. The theater offers a year-round schedule of films, live music, comedy, magic, and theatrical performances. It is also available to rent for private events with seating for up to 320 guests. More at SebastianiTheater.com.
Here comes the sun, and I say it's all right.
Good morning, Sonoma. Wake up, wake up, wake up. If you haven't already. It is the morning show on Mondays. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here for the next 2 hours of post-Super Bowl fun, games, excitement, expertise, so on and so forth. Today we've got Alex Domenio will be here from Elevate Sonoma, Hunter Scott from Home First, Eric Marshall, the Closet Guru, Marilyn Nagel from TEDx Sonoma County, and Ashley Burnett from Wine Women, a trade organization supporting women in the wine industry. So we got a full roster of guests coming up in a little bit, but let's kick things off with, pun intended, city business. What is on the books for this week? Well, we've got the Cultural and Fine Arts Commission meeting tomorrow, the 10th of February, 6 o'clock, City Council Chambers. If that interests you, Good time to get yourself on down to City Council Chambers. That is followed by the Climate Action Commission meeting the next day, Wednesday the 11th, also 6 o'clock. And that is followed by, yes, the big break. City offices will be closed on President's Day. That's next Monday the 16th. Expect your post office to be closed, your bank, the city offices, as I mentioned. And except us, we will be here at KSVY Voices of the Valley 91.3 FM on the dial. We will be here working away on President's Day, bringing you another humdinger show. So if you get the day off, enjoy it with a cup of joe in front of you, tuned into your local radio station. Now, you're probably wondering, because I'm sure you are, like, what happens on February the 9th across the globe, or at least, at the very least, across the country, maybe across town? It is Chocolate Day today. What could be better, right? Chocolate Day. That means everybody is promoting getting ready for Valentine's Day coming up this weekend. But it is Chocolate Day today. Find something that you love that has a little of that involved. It's also, believe it or not, National Pizza Day, National Bagels and Lox Day, and, unsurprisingly, National Toothache Day. Things you might consider doing today, if you've got the day off, or even if you don't, you want to just start the week off well, it is National Clean Out Your Computer Day. Do you need to clean old files off of your computer? It's a good day for that. It's also National Cut the Cord Day. I'm not sure how you want to interpret that, but I'll leave that up to you. It's National Develop Alternative Vices Day because, you know, habits are a thing. Might as well enjoy them. It's National Football Hangover Day. If you're in recovery mode, good luck. One way you might want to interpret that is this is also Read in the Bathtub Day. So if that's how you recover from a little Super Bowl Sunday, that might be a good thing to do. It's also World Marriage Day and International Epilepsy Day. So some observances for February the 9th for you. Now, if we want to dial the clock back, you know, a ways, on this day in history, the British forces restored control of Calcutta under Robert Clive. You may or may not be familiar with your British history in India. They really, 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 really wanted to expand the empire throughout India. And today was a big move for that. In 1757, if you jump forward a couple decades, on this date in 1775, British Parliament declared the Massachusetts colony in rebellion. Oh my! Guess they still would be, theoretically. You know. Anyway, you got the gist of it. On this date in 1788, Australia declared war on Russia. It's a pretty good distance to need to declare war on Russia. Not sure what spurred that, but hey. If you want to, that's the way to go. In 1799, on this date, the British frigate Insurgent was captured by the U.S. Constitution off of Nevis Island. So that was a thing for us. In 1801, the Peace of Lunéville was signed between France and Austria. In 1807, the French Saint-Trédat was convened by Napoleon Bonaparte, emperor at the time. Let's see. Let's jump forward to 1822. Haiti invaded the newly formed Dominican Republic on this date in 1822. Not a nice way to treat a new country. They obviously had their reasons. In 1825, on this date, the U.S. House of Representatives elected John Quincy Adams president on this date because things were done a little differently. In 1861, on this date, the Provisional Congress of the Confederate States met in Montgomery, Alabama. Not sure if they met every year until the war of aggression between the states, or the war of northern aggression, was resolved or not. Doesn't say here. In 1870, on this date, the U.S. Army established the National Weather Service, and we are still holding on to it as best we can today. In 1886, a state of emergency was declared in Seattle to suppress anti-Chinese violence. Not a good picture, but. In 1895, on this date, William G. Morgan invented the game of Mintonette. You go, what? What? Mintonette? It's better known today as volleyball. Mintonette. In 1900, on this date, the Davis Cup tournament, tennis tournament, was established. In 1907, London's Mud March civil rights demonstration took place. In 1918, a peace treaty was signed in Berlin recognizing Ukraine during World War I as its own sovereign country. 1918, everybody. In 1941, a naval artillery shell hit Genoa's Cathedral of San Lorenzo, but it did not explode. I believe it's still lodged in the cathedral wall. Not sure. In 1942, on this date, daylight savings time was instituted in the U.S. to help conserve energy during World War II. Smart move at the time. Same date, same time. The SS Normandy caught fire while being converted for military use. And a year later, on this date, 1943, Battle of Guadalcanal ended with the Allied forces capturing the island from Japan. And, same date, President Roosevelt issued an executive order establishing a 48-hour wartime work week in many cities. Because things were kind of desperate, and they really needed people contributing and pulling things in. So, 1945, on this date, in World War II, the submarine U-864 was sunk off of Norway in a very rare sub-to-sub combat. Most of the time, for those going, wait, doesn't that happen a lot? No, that's the movie. Subs was kind of tricky. You usually had something that was either air or above water to sub type of explosions. Anyway, you get the gist of things there. Let's see, what have we got else here? Jumping forward. Senator Joseph McCarthy in 1950 on this date accused the U.S. State Department of being infiltrated by the communists. A year later on this date, during the Korean War, the Jiocheng massacre took place when the South Korean army units killed hundreds of unarmed citizens. Very sad. In 1959 on this date, the USSR's R-7 Semyorka was the first intercontinental ballistic missile that became operational. And, of course, just this past week, we lost the last of the treaties, interballistic missile treaties, with Russia, allowing them to rearm again, sadly. And us, to be fair, we could as well. But not a good show, overall. In 1961, on this date, the Beatles performed at the Cavern Club following their return from Hamburg. 3 years later, in 1964, on this date, the Beatles made their first U.S. TV appearance on The Ed Sullivan Show. which was a record audience for that program. 1965, on this date, the U.S. Marine Corps sent a Hawk missile battalion to South Vietnam during the Vietnam War. It was the first combat troops that were sent and landing in Vietnam on this date, 1965. 3 years later, on this date, 1968, at the Rotterdam Metro, this was the first metro station, first subway system for the Netherlands. It was their ribbon cutting day in 1968. You know, water, big issue there. So being able to have one was phenomenal and a feat of engineering. A year later, on this date, 1969, the Boeing 747 jumbo jet made its first flight ever. First one out there. In 1971, on this date, the Sylmar earthquake took place in Greater L.A. It did kill dozens of people, and it was pretty high. It was listed as a 6.5 to 6.7 Richter scale earthquake. Same date, different location. The European Economic Community approved plans for a common currency, now known as the euro, but they were just laying the groundwork for it back then. Also on the same date, 1971, Satchel Paige became the first Negro Leagues player to be elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Satchel Paige, a good thing. Let's see, 1975, the Soviet spacecraft Soyuz 17 returned to Earth from its orbit. In 1976, the Triumph particle accelerator was inaugurated in Canada on this date. Also on this date, the Australian Defence Force unified the Navy, Army, and Air Force for the first time in Australia. 1978, the Bud Company unveiled its first SPV-2000 self-propelled rail car in Philadelphia. Don't know if that's still running or not. Halley's Comet made its closest approach to Earth since 1910 on this date in 1986. A while back. On this date, 1991, the voters of Lithuania voted to become independent from the Soviet Union. A smart move for Lithuania. In 1996, the IRA ended its 18-month ceasefire and detonated a bomb at Canary Wharf in London, which was sad. Also on the same date, the element Copernicum was discovered at a German research center, adding to the list of elements. Let's see. In 2001, the USS Greenville collided with the Japanese vessel Ehimaru, which sank. That's sad. In 2008, the Turkish parliament approved a series of constitutional amendments easing the headscarf ban in universities. About time. And in 2009, on this date, the Egyptian tomb with around 30 different mummies dating back to 640 BC was unearthed in 2009. If you have a birthday today, happy birthday. You share your birthday with William Henry Harrison, the 9th President of the United States, Gypsy Rose Lee, burlesque entertainer and author, Carmen Miranda, a singer and film star, Jimmy Smith, jazz organist who popularized the Hammond B3, Carole King, the amazing singer, songwriter, actor Joe Pesci, Alice Walker, amazing author and Pulitzer Prize winner, Mia Farrow, actress, and Judith Light, also actress, and Michael B. Jordan, and another amazing actor and producer. So, big lineup all across the way. And with that, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at sebastianitheater.com.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group. For information and guidance regarding Wine Country Real Estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Learning to flip your thoughts can have a profound impact on your health and well-being. The simplest way is through a positive affirmation that flips the thought from a negative to a positive. For example, when faced with chores, instead of saying, "I don't want to clean the house," say, "I like living in a clean house." When getting up the motivation to exercise, instead of saying, "I'm too tired to exercise today," say, "I feel more alert and energetic when I exercise." Positive affirmations help us change our negative attitudes into positive ones.
The Late Shift. Sonoma International Film Festival anxiously presents on Tuesday, February 10th at the historic Sebastiani Theater. Late Shift is a gripping, real-time hospital thriller propelled by a remarkable performance from Leonie Benesch, acclaimed for her breakout roles in Teacher's Lounge and September 5. Set during one relentless overnight shift, the film immerses audiences in the pressure cooker world of emergency medicine, where split-second decisions carry life or death consequences. Shortlisted for Best International Feature at the 2026 Academy Awards, Late Shift delivers urgent, visceral storytelling. Edge of your seat drama, Late Shift. Doors open at 6:15 for pre-show party. Movie starts at 7 o'clock. All happening at the historic Sebastiani Theater. That's Tuesday, February 10th, Late Shift. All the information you need is at sonomafilmfest.org.
And now back to The Morning Show.
It's getting to the point where I'm no fun anymore.
I am sorry.
Sometimes it hurts so badly, I must cry out loud.
I am lonely.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
Give back your
heart. Remember what we've said and done and felt about each other.
Have mercy.
Don't let the past remind us of what we are not now.
I am not grieving.
I am yours, you are mine, you are what you are.
You make it hard.
Tearing yourself away from me now, you are free, and I am crying. This does not mean I don't love you, I do, that's forever, yes, and for always.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. Something inside is telling me that I've got your secret.
Are you still listening?
Here is the lock and left of the key to your heart.
And I love you.
I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. You make it hard. And you make it hard. And you make it hard.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, everybody. Judy Blue Eyes. And we're coming back to the morning show this Monday, February 9th. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here until 10 o'clock this morning. We have our first guest with us this morning, who I've been very excited to welcome to the morning show for the first time because he's got a new business out there. Alex Domenio has a new business out there along with his other family members. So I should just mention it's a family affair. It's Elevate Sonoma Hyperbaric Oxygen Therapy. They're right at 548 Broadway right here in Sonoma. They recently opened, and you're probably going, hyperbaric chamber? Wait, isn't that like one of those things where you sit in an oxygen chamber and then something's supposed to happen? Well, we're going to get the skinny on that since they just opened. Alex, welcome to the morning show. Thank you for being here this morning.
Of course, Marcia. I appreciate you having me. Wonderful to be here.
Yeah, thank you for being here. So let's talk a little bit about the basics here about hyperbaric oxygen chambers. And part of this is the backstory of why you and your family members decided to open this therapy service to Sonomans. So explain the backstory to all this.
Of course. So yeah, it's maybe a therapy that's getting more recognition nowadays, but it's still not super household name. And the reason I'm so aware of it and it's become a family enterprise is because my dad had to undergo extensive hyperbaric therapy for different various brain trauma he had over the years that ended up leading to a diagnosis of early onset dementia when he was just 59 years old. And definitely was a big shift for our family, thinking about his future and how we knew him and how he was going to be able to function. And luckily he discovered hyperbaric as a possible therapy that could help, and he ended up committing to it. And after doing a long medical trial of hyperbaric, he ended up getting an at-home version, and he's just stuck with it. And just recently he had a new spread of neurological tests. Everything was above average or average, so it really turned his life around in terms of his aptitude. And this was something he wanted to be able to share with his Sonoma community, since he was connecting with friends, sharing his story, and just realized there's a need for so many people could use this amazing
right?
Medical therapy. Yeah.
Right. So that's a great backstory, and it's great that your dad and the family wanted to kind of give back by offering this newer type of therapy. It isn't just for treating characteristics and symptoms of dementia. It can also help with things related to the respiratory system, digestive system, nervous system, circulation, your muscular system, and skeletal system. So that's pretty much the whole body there. And I know, you and your family did a lot of research on who can use it. I was kind of surprised to hear there are benefits to athletes, as well as obviously, people who are actively aging and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about what all you learned and, maybe some of the things that were surprises to you when you learned about what some of the benefits are of a hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
Of course. Yeah, it's amazing. Like, in its essence, you're getting sealed inside a pod.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes pressurized. To a certain degree, we can go up to 2.0, like twice our current atmosphere, what mm-hmm. we're sitting at right now.
Okay.
And then we're also piping in 96% supplemental oxygen. So in its essence, you're literally pressing that oxygen into smaller and smaller pieces based on how high the pressure goes.
Wow.
And it's getting pressed. Yeah, it's getting pressed to your blood plasma. So instead of traveling on red blood cells like it typically would.
Yeah.
In areas that are just not getting as much blood flow as they used to.
Can you, Alex, you go back a little bit? Because your signal's kind of going in and out. Can you go back like a sentence or so?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so in its essence, that pressure is pressing that oxygen in.
We lost you again. Gotta find a better signal.
I'm sorry, Marcia.
That's okay. It's always a challenge.
Yeah.
With our Zoom signals.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, that's a little better. I'm curious, you were talking about 96% oxygen, is what's being pumped into the hyperbaric chamber. What's our normal atmosphere? What percentage of oxygen are we taking in our regular atmosphere?
21%.
Yeah, big difference. Big difference.
Yeah. We're at a supplemental level. It's you're still able to dress comfortably. We have really luxurious pods. You can recline. You have a chair in there that is reclining, a TV, really nice lighting system. But you can also bring your phone in and dress comfortably. So it's really nice to be able to just enjoy the experience in more purely medical pods that are used in hospitals. You have to be a lot more careful about what you dress and what you bring in with you. So,
right,
we like to offer that, and people really enjoy the comfortability. But it's once you start learning about it and just realizing that oxygen under pressure is going to press into your body in ways that it hasn't gotten oxygen before. It helps people that are in great health. It helps people that are recovering from something very significant, very recent,
mm-hmm.
and everything in between. And your body's really intuitive. It knows where it needs that oxygen most. So once it gets that hyperoxygenation, it knows exactly where to push it to.
That's pretty cool.
And so, yeah, you start getting new blood vessels. Yeah, new blood vessels, new stem cells, new neurons in your brain. And that just, affects everything in your life health-wise.
Sure does. So... I know from reading the literature, and I have to say, for folks who are curious about the benefits, they go into a lot of detail on the website, which is elevatesonoma.com. So you can read about it there. But what I found interesting were some of the benefits, like reducing swelling and inflammation, faster wound healing, boosting stem cell activity and regeneration in the body. There's all kinds of things that it will aid even somebody's quality of sleep, right?
Yeah, it helps you reset your circadian rhythm. And my mom actually is someone that's struggled with consistent sleep. And every time she has a session in the hyperbaric, she has her most sound sleep that night. And it just helps, you know, get that oxygen in your body, help reset your processes, and gives your body some resting healing that it hasn't gotten in a while. That can just lead to it finally calming down and resetting.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit about the process. Is some of this in a single session? Do some things require multiple sessions? And how long are these sessions in the chamber? Talk a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so typically you're going to be in a chamber from 60 to 90 minutes. You really want to be able to be under that pressure to get the benefits and let the oxygen run through your system.
Mm-hmm.
If you are recovering from something specific, you just had a major surgery, or you have wounds that you're trying to heal faster, you're going to want to be in there almost daily, spending that time under pressure. If you're just doing maintenance, or you're just trying to, you know, you get some of the anti-age benefits, mm-hmm. not anything.
Right.
Then maybe 2 to 3 times a week is good, and you can also, yeah, you can cycle, you can go heavy for a month and then take a little break, let your body's healing catch up with. It really depends. We do complimentary consultations so people could come and let me know what they got going on, and we could find a protocol treatment that works best for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah.
Sounds
right now it's interesting. Yeah, we're running a No, go on. Sorry, Marcia.
No, I was just saying, you know, that's a great way to approach it, because a lot of people are like, well, you know, I'm not sure how this is going to benefit me or what I'm going to need. So being able to talk with you guys to determine what the needs are first is a big help, because some people might ask, is this a medical grade hyperbaric chamber? And how do you explain what type of hyperbaric oxygen chambers you have?
Yeah. So we're not really medical. We're an elective facility. We have very luxurious pods. We're still pumping in that supplemental oxygen, and we can go up to 2.0 ATAs. The fully medical pods are going to be 100% oxygen. Sometimes they can go higher than 2.0, but with that comes a lot more restriction, and you also have to have insurance cover that, which unfortunately right now in this field, mm-hmm. it doesn't cover a lot of things, mm-hmm. only really high level. If you're recovering from the bends in a diving incident, if you have carbon monoxide poisoning or gangrene, those are some things that might be covered by the medical field at the moment, but a lot of things aren't, and we can treat many, many of those things with our hard shell chambers.
Right, right.
Yeah, and we also offer red light therapy. We have a red light bed that you lay in with 360 infrared and red light, 6 different waves that go from cellular to skin level.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to offer that because it really does pair well with the hyperbaric. If you do red light first, you really get your blood flowing.
Mm-hmm.
You actually open up your cells to receive more oxygen through that process, and then you go in the hyperbaric, and it's just amplified with pressing that oxygen in with the blood flowing, ready to receive it.
Right.
And so, yeah, we do an introduction special where people can do 15 minutes of red light,
mm-hmm.
30 minutes of hyperbaric, just to get a feel for it, make sure everything feels comfortable, make sure the machines feel like a good fit for them and that they're actually able to enjoy the process before committing to a full protocol.
Okay. And for listeners, again, if you're trying to remember where to find all this, go to elevatesonoma.com. www.cinemawines.com, and you'll find all the details on their website there. Again, they're at 548 Broadway, right here in Sonoma, so it's very conveniently located. And as Alex mentioned, there's a complimentary consultation available, so if you're trying to understand if it's a good fit for you, if you're going to be comfortable with it. There's probably, you know, some folks who have some concerns, you know, if they feel like they have claustrophobia or they're not sure if they might have a sensitivity to space. You can talk with Alex and the staff about whether or not that is comfortable. We're just about out of time. Alex, you want to leave some parting words with our listeners?
Yeah, I just want to say it's been a pleasure getting to be a part of the Sonoma community with the business. Like, the power of word of mouth is so strong in town, and people have already been sharing it with loved ones and people they care about, thinking it's a good fit for them. So I really appreciate that, and I'm excited to continue being a part of the community and helping heal people. And like you mentioned, our doors are open. We do consultations. People can come check out the space, and I'm really excited to bring this amazing therapy to Sonoma.
Fantastic. We've been talking with Alex Nemeno from Elevate Sonoma. Find them at ElevateSonoma.com and at 548 Broadway. Alex, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Marcia. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Alex. Bye-bye. All right, listeners, let's take a quick little break. We're going to be back with Hunter Scott right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Sebastiani Theater on the Sonoma Plaza, offering live shows and event rentals. More at SebastianiTheater.com.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group. For information and guidance regarding Wine Country Real Estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
One of the easiest ways to stay healthy is to take a walk. Walking just 20 or 30 minutes several times a week can pay big benefits. It improves cardiovascular fitness, helps maintain weight, strengthens muscles and bones, and reduces the risk of developing many illnesses such as heart disease and diabetes. And it's convenient. You can walk at your own pace any time of the day. So get out and enjoy the beautiful fall days here in Sonoma and do some good for your health in the process.
Before there was Facebook and the Women's Now movement, there was Shirley Valentine. And the Sonoma Arts Live Theater Company is proud to present the classic play, Shirley Valentine, written by Willie Russell. The show will open February 6th and runs weekends through February 22nd, with Saturday shows at 7:30 and Sunday shows at 2 p.m. Shirley became a cultural touchstone for female liberation and self-affirmation, and the play's success led to the popular 1989 film adaption. Before there was social media, Shirley was a bona fide sensation, and everyone was talking about it. Although written in the 1980s, the script is timeless and relatable. That's happening February 6th through the 22nd on the Rotary Stage at Andrews Hall at Sonoma Community Center. For more information and tickets, sonomaartslive.org.
And now back to The Morning Show.
Back in at 8:43. I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host until 10 o'clock this morning. And we have our next guest with us to join us, who I've been very excited to talk with again, because it's been a little bit since he was here. Hunter Scott is Vice President of Home First Sonoma County. Home First has a vision for the community in which everybody has a home. Their mission is that every day Home First works to end homelessness by providing a full spectrum of services to help people find a home, improve their lives, and of course, stay housed. Their guiding principles are housing first, harm reduction, low barriers, and trauma-informed care. Hunter, welcome back to the morning show. Thank you for being here again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you back again. So I understand that the point in time count has recently taken place again. It's a yearly count to kind of find out where the homelessness are at and how many and all that stuff. Can you explain a little bit what the point in time count is and what you do with the information that you find out from the count?
Yeah, absolutely. The point in time count happens across the country every year around the same time. It's required by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. And it's a big part of what guides funding at both the state and the federal level. Mm-hmm. And so what it is that it's a count where everybody who's working in the homeless services space, as well as community members, volunteers, all get together and deploy out of certain deployment sites across the county and go out literally into the streets with census maps. And we have to go through, drive down every single street, go down every trail where we know there are people living, and count people one by one. Wow. And so it's really important because it helps us understand the need in the community. You know, it's not perfect because it's one day in the year. And so I can talk about, we have also some local measures that help us with that. But the results from the count are usually released midway through the year.
Okay. All right. Good to know. So I guess we should back up a little bit and talk about Home First itself, because many of our listeners may not be familiar with Home First. What all it is that you guys offer, what the goal is, and if you think you're making progress?
Yeah, it's a big question. So to talk a little bit about what we do in Sonoma County, we have street outreach teams in Petaluma and Sonoma Valley and countywide. We provide interim housing. So we have a shelter in our park. We have permanent housing programs. We have a rapid rehousing program, what we call in Sonoma Valley. And then we provide systems leadership, which is basically a way of saying that we support the cities and county with managing some of their homeless services systems. Okay. So last year in Sonoma County alone, we impacted almost 4,000 people. So we have a pretty big reach and tend to fly under the radar. But we're really proud of the work that we do and helping people measurably move on from homelessness.
Wow. Well, that's great. That's a good thing to hear. And so now I suppose we should pivot back a little bit to the point in time count. I'm sure from hearing from all the people who went out in the field about what the initial count information was, it gave you a little bit of a snapshot in terms of, this has changed. This has gotten better. This is surprising. What would you like to share with our listeners about what you know kind of informally before the formal report comes out later this year?
Yeah, I appreciate you making that distinction. I will also share, I had mentioned we have a separate tool that coincides with the count called the By Names List, where all the service providers in the Valley get together weekly. And we pull together all the data of the people we're seeing. So we have kind of a live snapshot at the same time of the number of people experiencing homelessness in the Valley. And this happens across the county as well.
Right.
And so we use that to kind of compare the two. And so I can talk about anecdotally what we saw this year.
Yeah.
We saw less people out in public view than we were expecting.
Okay.
The By Names List that I just mentioned, that separate tool, tells us that, and we're pretty confident in that number, tells us that on the day of the count, there were 124 people experiencing homelessness in Sonoma Valley.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't see that many. it's hard to say with what the final number will be in the point in time count, but that was surprising. And then also we saw more people in vehicles than the past, including RVs and U-Hauls.
Okay.
And so I think the overall takeaway for us is that there's, you know, there's less people in public view who are clearly experiencing homelessness, so the count may be lower, but we're actually fairly confident that if anything, the numbers have gone up. For a long time, they were trending down in Sonoma Valley, but recently we've seen them going up. And that might be because of the cold weather, right? People making more of an effort to couch surf, rent a U-Haul for the night, book a motel. It's also possible that people are making more of an effort to be less conspicuous because of general political policy changes.
Right.
And the rhetoric around homelessness. Many of the people we serve in Sonoma Valley are undocumented, right? So that plays a role as well.
Yeah.
And I think ultimately what this shows is the importance of having these kinds of street outreach teams who can year-round develop relationships with the population and find them where they need services.
Yeah. You know, it strikes me as maybe an unusual choice to do the point-in-time count in the dead of winter across the country when the majority of people who are unhoused are probably most likely trying to hunker down and stay warm someplace inside, making the count much harder than it would be in warm weather months. Am I crazy, or is,
you're not
is there a method to the madness?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long, these are decisions by HUD, right? By the federal government. But you know, that's a long time criticism of the approach. I think the method to the madness, if there is one, is that you're also most likely during that time to have people going into shelter.
Yeah,
which makes that population easier to count.
Right.
But it does mean that we have to sort of assume that there's higher numbers in the summer and that people aren't being found.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. So you've mentioned some outreach teams, and part of this obviously is in order to count, it's probably more comfortable for the unhoused right now to see familiar faces, to see people that they know that work with the homeless. Can you go into some detail about, you know, these outreach teams, who they are? You know, how do they work? What are they doing on a daily basis?
Yeah, absolutely. So first I want to note from sort of first contact, let's say, you know, a listener sees an encampment that they're really concerned about and they call, the city or the district supervisor's office or the sheriff maybe. We do have a system in place where in most cases that information will get back to us,
mm-hmm.
So that we can collaborate with those entities and send out our outreach team to go provide services.
Okay.
So those are often where we get our first calls. And so their job is to go out into encampments and meet people where they are, under the bridges and the creeks.
Mm-hmm.
And first they try to meet their immediate needs, especially in weather emergencies. So distributing weather supplies like food, water, connecting them to shelter if they want that. And then we build relationships and trust, as you mentioned, figure out collaboratively with the person what it will take to get them into permanent housing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if permanent housing comes available, locating them and getting them into that housing.
Right.
And then along the way, we're connecting people to critical resources like health, mental health benefits, advocating for people in the justice system. We're really working with people all along the way from streets to housing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in Sonoma Valley last year, 88% of the people served by our Sonoma Valley team left the program into shelter or permanent housing. And 36% went directly into permanent housing. So we have a pretty good success rate.
Right. Wow, that's fantastic. So speaking of moving into housing, the last time you were here, you mentioned the Sonoma Valley Rapid Rehousing Program. For our newer listeners or somebody who might have missed the sequence, the segment, can you talk about what the Rapid Rehousing Program is, how it works, and perhaps, you know, some of your partners, you know, to help folks understand the program?
Yeah. So the Rapid Rehousing Program is a program where we take someone, you know, typically a family or an individual who's experiencing homelessness in the valley, and work with them to identify housing just on the normal rental market. We pay rent for typically about a year. It can go longer if needed. And during that time, we're working very intensively with them to get connected to employment and benefits so that they can eventually take on the rent. And so we work very closely with several landlords. And I just want to quickly tell an early success story, if it's okay.
Please.
We had a gentleman named Donald who had previously been turning down housing opportunities because they weren't based in Sonoma. And he's a Sonoma native. This is where home is. And so, when we started accepting applications for the program, he was interested. He was meeting with our outreach team at the time. Mm-hmm. And they described the program, and he said, oh, yeah, you know, a case manager based in Sonoma would really increase my chances for success. And so he entered the program, but, you know, there were some immediate challenges, and that's a big part of this work, is there's kind of up and down. One of the challenges was that he was really concerned with finding his fiance, who he'd lost contact with.
Wow.
And so our team worked closely with him and found her in a drug treatment facility. Mm-hmm. And he decided that, you know what, the idea of sobriety is appealing. And he enrolled in that program himself. And so he finished that program, left the program, and we housed him. And he's doing really well. And so this shows kind of how, you know, it's an up and down, and we're following right. What their needs are, and ultimately that's what's going to result in success.
Right. But a helping hand goes a long, long way, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And we're still looking for landlords, by the way, in the Sonoma Valley region.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. So landlords, an opportunity to stand up. And I want to mention, since you put out the call, it's homefirstscc.org is the website. If you're looking to find them, of course, you can just Google Home First right online, or Home First Sonoma County, and they're going to pop up right there in the results right there. I wanted to talk about an upcoming event that you guys are hosting. It's the Home is Where the Art Is. Talk a little bit about this program that's coming up.
Thank you. Yeah, so we have – this is such a cool program. So – our participants at our site in Roanoke Park, or shelter, and we're hoping to expand this to other areas next year, but they participate in an art workshop. Mm-hmm. With a professional artist who comes and works with them, and they develop artwork, and then the Home is Where the Art is a showcase where they sell the art, and all of the money from the art sales goes to them. So it's a really cool way to participate to support our local unhoused community. It's open to the public. It's free. And so if you are interested in coming, please go to our website at homefirstscc.org to register. It's on February 19th in Petaluma, and we're so excited.
Very nice and very exciting. So that's another great step, I think, for the homeless to be able to participate in that kind of a program, which leads me to, if anybody happens to be listening who is in need of service, or somebody's listening who knows somebody who could use these services, what are the next steps? Where should they go? How do they find you, etc.?
Yeah, I would encourage them to call our outreach line. The number is 707-277-1407. We may hand them off to a different team depending on where they are, what their mm-hmm. needs are. But again, that's 707-277-1407. We'll make sure somebody calls them back.
Okay. Sounds fantastic. Absolutely what is needed. Parting words, Hunter, anything that you would like to leave behind with listeners about Home First?
Just that there's so many ways people can get involved. Again, if you're a landlord or know a landlord, if you're interested, please contact us. If you're interested in supporting the in-house community, please come to Home is Where the Art Is, or visit our website for more information.
Okay. Thank you so much. Sounds great. And again, listeners, that's homefirstscc.org is the website. So, Hunter Scott, thank you so much. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Marcia. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Hunter. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, listeners, let's take a quick little break before we come back with Eric Marshall right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show.
KSVY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor, consultants, and representative for many generations to come. For information and guidance regarding Wine Country Real Estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
The following show is brought to you in part by
Highway 12 Winery. Sonoma wines ranging from Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays to local reds such as the Mission Hardware Old Sonoma Red, with a tasting room located at 27 East Napa Street, Suite S. Hours, 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. daily. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529.